بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. InshaAllah ta'ala, we'll conclude Surah Al-Layl today, and next week, bi'ithnillah, we'll start with Surah Al-Duha. As for now, last week we discussed the Al-Ashqa. We discussed Al-Ashqa, which is the most evil, the most wretched one. And Allah Azza wa Jal told us about who he is, الَّذِي كَذَّبَ وَتَوَلَّى, the one who lied against, in other words, lied against Allah, against the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, against the Qur'an, against the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if you'll give, I'll give you back. He just denied all of it and he didn't give anything. So therefore, he was known as Al-Ashqa in that surah. And Allah Azza wa Jal told us that his final abode would be Naran Talavva, which is the sparking fire that he will be entered into on the Day of Judgment. So now Allah Azza wa Jal will tell us, and this is the conclusion of the surah opposite to Al-Ashqa, which is Al-Atqa, the most pious. So Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, وَسَيُجَنَّبُهَا الْأَتْقَى, and the most fearful. Al-Atqa, not Al-Muttaqi, he's saying Al-Atqa. In other words, the most fearful. Al-Muttaqi is someone with taqwa. But Al-Atqa is the one who has the most and the highest taqwa. Allah Azza wa Jal is saying about him, وَسَيُجَنَّبُهَا الْأَتْقَى, he'll be kept away from it, from the fire. And he'll be kept away from the fire. Now, the word وَسَيُجَنَّبُهَا, the word janaba means to be on the side. تَجَنُّب means to be taken to the side. تَجْنِيب, which is the root words of وَسَيُجَنَّبُهَا, means to be taken extremely far, far, far to the side. In other words, وَسَيُجَنَّبُهَا الْأَتْقَى would mean that Allah Azza wa Jal would move such a person, which is the most fearful, He'll move him far away from the hellfire and place him on the far side where it is totally, totally safe. So the most righteous will soon be turned away from it, from the fire. The Mufassirun, they say that Al-Atqa and all these ayat that are going to come, that these are referring to the greatest companion, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and because they came down after he freed Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. We'll explain that story very soon. But now, and we'll say whether it is exclusive only to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, or whether is it everyone else is included in these ayat. Now there's something really beautiful, it's very amazing here, that we need to explain and we need to understand. Now before this ayah, وَسَيُجَنَّبُهَا الْأَتْقَى, before it Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, لَا يَصْلَاهَا إِلَّا الْأَشْقَى. لَا يَصْلَاهَا إِلَّا الْأَشْقَى. Now notice the wording. He said, no one will burn in the fire except al-ashqa, except the most evil. But look how he said it. He said, no one will burn in the fire except the most evil. And who will be saved from the fire? Al-Atqa. But when he spoke about Al-Atqa, he didn't say, لَا يُجَنَّبُهَا إِلَّا الْأَتْقَى. He didn't say, no one will be saved from it except the most fearful. So he just said, وَسَيُجَنَّبُهَا الْأَتْقَى. The most fearful will be saved, right? He didn't say, no one except the most fearful will be saved. He said, the most fearful will be saved. As for the evil, he said, the most evil will be burning in it. And by saying it this way in the Quran, وَسَيُجَنَّبُهَا الْأَتْقَى, that the most fearful will be saved, it implies that they, the Atqa, they're not the only ones that will be saved from the fire. People who have less than the most taqwa will also be saved from the fire. So it's a mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He didn't keep the style and the style of the language and say, لَا يُجَنَّبُهَا إِلَّا الْأَتْقَى. Because if he said that, لَا يُجَنَّبُهَا إِلَّا الْأَتْقَى, then that would have meant that unless you have the highest form of taqwa, then you will not be saved from the fire. But when you say, سَيُجَنَّبُهَا الْأَتْقَى, it would mean that the most fearful will be saved, and including people that are less than the most taqwa. So now the question is, how do you become a person of يعني the most taqwa? How do you become someone of al-atqa? Then Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, الَّذِي يُؤْتِي مَالَهُ يَتَزَكَّى. Now the question is, how would you become of such a people that have the highest taqwa? Allah Azza wa Jalla says, الَّذِي يُؤْتِي مَالَهُ يَتَزَكَّى. The one who gives his wealth to increase in purifying himself. The one who gives his wealth so that he can purify and clean himself. Now in the previous surah, Surah Ash-Shams, Allah Azza wa Jalla told us about the one who succeeded. He said, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. Told us that the one who succeeds, the one who attains success, is the one who purifies himself. In this surah, Allah is teaching us, you want to become a clean and pure person? You want to clean yourself from the inside, from the filth and the bad deeds and the habits? How do you do that? يُؤْتِي مَا لَهُ. يُؤْتِي مَا لَهُ. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, يُؤْتِي مَا لَهُ يَتَزَكَّى. This is how you do it, by giving this wealth. Now Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, يَتَزَكَّى. We were expecting, الَّذِي يُؤْتِي مَا لَهُ لِيَتَزَكَّى. This is normal. We were expecting Allah would say, the one who gives his wealth, لِيَتَزَكَّى. This lam here would mean, so that, in order to purify himself. But Allah didn't say, لِيَتَزَكَّى. So why don't we see a lamb? And what does it imply, since the lamb, the absence of the lamb, what does it imply? The lesson is that Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, give the money, give the wealth. You won't purify yourself. Allah Azza wa Jalla will purify it. So giving will not purify you. That's why he didn't say liyatazakka. Otherwise the lamb would have meant, do this and you will get this. So the absence of the lamb teaches us that the tazkiyah, the purification, it doesn't come as a result of you giving. You give and giving will not purify you. In the end, it's Allah Azza wa Jalla who is doing the purification. It is Allah who is cleaning you from the sins and the bad habits. So yatazakka without the lamb would be best translated as he gives his wealth, يُؤْتِ مَا لَهُ, in hope that he becomes pure and becomes clean. In hope that Allah Azza wa Jal will clean him from the filth inside of him. So here we're also learning that the purpose of giving wealth, صَدَقَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, is to clean oneself. You know, right? You give a sadaqah, you give a gift to the poor, you show goodness to the poor, and Allah Azza wa Jal will bestow goodness and He'll show you His mercy. That's by Him purifying you and cleaning you. Now, the other thing in this ayah, you know, the surah began with فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى, as for the one who gave. And we said أَعْطَى meaning he gave a lot, as for the one who gave a lot. Now Allah Azza wa Jal, He didn't say الَّذِي يُعْطِي مَا لَهُ. He said الَّذِي يُؤْتِي مَا لَهُ. In other words, what Allah is teaching us, He's saying, يُؤْتِي مَا لَهُ, He gave, but يُؤْتِي doesn't necessarily mean a lot. As for أَعْطَى, أَعْطَى meant to give, but to give a lot. يُؤْتِي means to give something. So now Allah is teaching us that the condition of purifying yourself isn't to give a lot. It's not to give a lot now. The condition to purify yourself is to just start giving. Just يُؤْتِي, give something, right? And the previous ayah, Allah said, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى. And He left it open, right? He didn't say, أَعْطَى مَا لَهُ, as for the one who gives his wealth. Allah didn't say this. Wealth wasn't mentioned. So what do you give? What do you give a lot of if you don't have wealth? You know, if you don't have wealth, what can you give a lot of? In other words, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى taught us as well that you can give from your time to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can give your efforts to Allah azza wa jal. You can give your youth to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have a lot of money, you can give a lot of that, etc. So how about if you don't have a lot of wealth? How about if you are someone that's poor? You know, how can they yu'ati? How can they give a lot? So when Allah azza wa jal defined al-atqa, He taught us that to attain the purification, He said, يُؤْتِي مَا لَهُ. Why? Because even the poorest person can give something. يُؤْتِي, he can give something. And so, even to give a date, or to give half a date, as in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, give half a date, you know. Fear Allah and protect yourself from the punishment of Allah, even if it's giving half a date. So when Allah defined the atqa, He just said, الَّذِي يُؤْتِي مَا لَهُ. And يُؤْتِي meant not to give a lot. So Allah Azza wa Jal is teaching us, even the poorest person can reach that level of al-atqa, he just has to begin to give something. So al-atqa is the one who gives, not necessarily a lot, because not many people يعني, have a lot, not everybody is rich. So subhanAllah, when Allah Azza wa Jal spoke about giving in general, He didn't specify what to give. When He spoke about giving in general, which was فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى, right? أَعْطَى was meant a lot. He didn't specify what to give. He didn't say أَعْطَى مَا لَهُ. Why? Because it implied that he didn't only give a lot, not only his wealth, maybe he doesn't have wealth. So أَعْطَى what? أَعْطَى from his time, أَعْطَى from his effort, that you can give a lot of, even if you are poor. But when he defined الأتقى, he said يُؤْتِي مَا لَهُ, he gives something of his wealth. يعني in other words, when Allah says يُؤْتِي مَا لَهُ, He gave us all the chance to reach that level الأتقى. So the advice يعني in these ayat is to give. Give, make it a habit that you always give. Every time you come to the masjid, drop a few coins in the box. Every time you see the needy, the poor, every time you see some يعني, charity or organization or fundraiser that يعني, collect money to feed the poor and the orphan, give. Teach yourself and always get into that habit. You know, because Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, الَّذِي يُؤْتِي. And يُؤْتِي is a present tense. And we always say that the present tense implies continuity, right? So something that's happening continual. So give, give. Keep cleansing yourself. Keep cleansing your wealth by giving. And every time you give something, right? يعني when you keep giving so you can lose the love of this wealth that we have. And also at the same time, teach your children to give, you know. Every time you get something, every time you get them something, let them give from it, right? Because يعني, nowadays, especially children, they get too many toys, too many plays, too many entertainment and so on. So what usually happens is that the يعني, even if some kids were to come over your house, and then they're playing with your children's toys and fights will happen and this is mine and he took my toy and so on. That is greed in itself. So you have to start teaching your children to give. And if they learn greed now, they will never ever be able to let go of it. So يعني, you know, you might think your kid, he's someone good because he comes with me to the masjid and so on. But in this surah, the key is giving. In order to be a good person, Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying to give in order to reach the level of al-atqa. What is he teaching? He's teaching to give. So teach your children to give and teach them to give each other. You can just start off with that. Between themselves, let them give each other. Let them give their neighbor, give their friends and give the people at school or whatever it is. But to have this habit, because if they don't get rid of greed from a young age, later on it'll be very, very difficult. And subhanAllah, I recall on this, يعني a story, one of يعني my teachers in this country, of course he works in a school, and يعني, part of his job is to interview students. And so he told me a story of this student. She came, he interviewed her. At the end of the interview, he's got a jar of lollies. So he said to her, here, take one. Anyway, she took one and she said, I don't like this lolly. But she said, I took it so I can give it to my sister, right? In other words, يعني, look at this. The way the parents have raised this child is that she's already thinking about someone else before herself. So if she doesn't like it, she wouldn't say, I don't want it. She's been raised up into saying, take it and give it to your child, give it to your sister. So she took it, and that was her ID. But anyway, this is what the interesting part is, that she said to the teacher, she said to him, can I have another one? So he said to her, yeah, you can have another one. So she took another one, and then he said to her, why did you ask for another one if you don't like it? She said, because I have another sister that if I gave it to one, she'll get jealous from the other, and a problem, a fight will happen in the house. But anyway, subhanAllah, what I learned from this was that, يعني, this is what you need to instill in your children. Not that they only think about themselves, that's greed. She doesn't like it, but she's saying, give it, I'll give it to my sister, and let him have another one so they can't fight on it. And this is, يعني, subhanAllah, blessed parents and a blessed child, that they taught them يعني, to give and not to learn this greed. And this, it needs to start with you at a young age. And you need to teach the children at that young age. So, يعني, and also teach them to give from what they love. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla says, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. Then you'll never attain this birr, the taqwa, the piety, unless you give from what you love. You know, if a child doesn't love, he'll give it. He doesn't care. He doesn't like it anyway. But that's not what we're teaching. You got to teach him to give from what he loves, right? Otherwise, later on, it's going to be very difficult. So perhaps something like, as an encouragement to the child, you buy a gift. You say, we're going to this person's house, whatever, and give. I want you to give them that gift. And teach him that if you give him, Allah will give us something better, right? Encourage him that way. That way he'll ask, what do you mean? You said, don't worry. Allah's promise is that he'll give us something even better than this gift we're going to give your friend. And this way, bit by bit, you teach them to give and to let go of this attitude and this quality of greed. So then Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, وَمَا يُغْنِي عَنْهُ مَالُهُ وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ تُجْزَى. Now Allah Azza wa Jal told us about someone that gave, الَّذِي يُؤْتِي مَالَهُ يَتَزَكَّى. He gave to clean himself. And no one had with him any favor for which a reward is expected in return. وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ تُجْزَى. So he didn't give to pay back someone for a favor they did for him. You know, for example, if someone was to invite you, then and he fed you, you'll feel obliged that I have to invite him and feed him back, right? Or someone, for example, say you're going to someone's house, and then you feel obliged, oh, we should get him something, we haven't been there for a long time, before they speak something bad about us or something like this, so let's get something. So you didn't give them out of love, or you didn't invite him out of love for the meal. You gave and you fed them, so you cannot hear the negative afterwards. So this surah is teaching us that such a person, he gave for the purpose of يَتَزَكَّى وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ تُجْزَى إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِ الْأَعْلَى. This is the only reason he gave. So that he purifies himself and so that he can seek Allah Azza wa Jalla's pleasure, and there is really no one that he wants to pay back anyway. So we're being taught that you shouldn't give because you fear what will be said after if you don't give. You're only giving ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِ الْأَعْلَى only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake, only to clean yourself. That's all you want from giving. This is the attitude that Allah is teaching us. So the meaning of the ayah, and there was not a single person that had a blessing for him, a ni'mah, a gift, that should be paid back. And another meaning of this ayah, وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ تُجْزَى, is a beautiful meaning as well. Another meaning of it is, and how can there be anyone who'll pay him back for what he gave? That's another meaning. وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ تُجْزَى. In other words, how can there be anyone that will pay him back for what he gave? In other words, you know, when you give, no one can really pay you back. Because no one knows how hard it was for you to give. Yani perhaps, maybe, you gave $5 fi sabilillah. And maybe someone else gave you $100, right, as a gift. Maybe for him that 100 was so easy, you know, he's got so much money that 100 is like, he doesn't even think of it. But for you to give that $5, maybe there was so much effort behind it, maybe you don't have enough work or stable work, you don't have money, and for you to bring out $5 with huge effort, so Allah Azza wa Jal is saying, وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ تُجْزَى. So really no one can pay him back. Even if I saw you give $5 fi sabilillah, and I gave you 100 or you got 500 later on, that doesn't mean you are paid back for that. Because no one can pay you except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because no one knows the circumstances that you went through to give that. So one of the meanings, وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ تُجْزَى, meaning that as much as you give, as much as people give, you give less, they give more, no one would actually know what kind of efforts you went through to give. So that means, يعني, he gave and يعني, he wanted his reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But on this ayah, some of the mufassirun, they mention reasons why this ayah came down. And they mention the story of Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu freeing him. So let me just share with you the story so we can link it to the ayah. And how Allah Azza wa Jal defends Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu in responding. So the story is that Umayyah ibn Khalaf, who was from the mushrikeen, he, of course, Bilal was a slave with Umayyah of the mushrikeen, from Quraysh. So every day, Umayyah, he would bring out Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu when the sun is right in the middle, when it's really hot, when it's scorching. And he'll push him to the floor on his back, the earth on his back. And then he'll order for a sakhra, a huge rock, that it be brought. and he'd place it on the chest of Bilal radiallahu anhu, and he'd leave him like this, and he'll keep telling him, لا تزال هكذا حتى تموت أو تكفر بمحمد. He'll say, look, you're going to remain like this? You're going to remain like this until you die, or until you disbelieve in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Bilal would say, أحدٌ أحد. He'd say, the one, in other words, referring to Allah Azza wa Jalla. So one day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came past Bilal and he saw him being tortured like this. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, أحدٌ ينجيك. In other words, this أحد that you're calling, he'll save you. He'll protect you and he'll save you. So then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and he said to him, إِنَّ بِلَالْ يُعَذَّبُ فِي اللَّهِ. That Bilal is being tortured for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he said, I knew what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted. So I went to Umayyah ibn Khalaf and I said to him, أَلَا تَتَّقِ اللَّهِ فِي هَذَا الْمِسْكِينَ. Don't you fear Allah with this poor person, this miskeen here that you're torturing like this? Then Umayyah, he responded to Abu Bakr, he said to him, أَنْتَ أَفْسَدْتَهُ فَأَنْقِذْهُ مِمَّا تَرَى. He said, you're the one that corrupted him, you're the one that brought this idea of Islam to him, so now save him from what you see him of punishment and torture going through or upon him. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he did so. And he purchased Bilal radiallahu anhu with a few golden coins, and he freed him, أَعْتَقَهُ for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he had already freed before Bilal 6 slaves. This is يعني, at the beginning of Islam. Upon entering Islam, he already freed 6 slaves, and Bilal was the 7th one before يعني, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's migration. So the Kuffar Quraysh, and this is the point here, they said that Abu Bakr, he only freed him because of a favor that Bilal had done to Abu Bakr. Now he's paying him back. That's why he freed him. So then Allah Azza wa Jal revealed the ayah, وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ تُجْزَى إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِ الْأَعْلَى. Allah came down, reveals ayat in defense of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, saying, responding to the mushrikeen, no, he didn't free Bilal because Bilal had done a favor, now he's paying him back. He only freed him. وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ تُجْزَى. He didn't expect anyone, and he didn't want reward from anyone. He only wanted his reward from his Lord, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ تُجْزَى. That was the reason of why the ayat came down. And then Allah Azza wa Jal says in the next ayah, إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِ الْأَعْلَى. So now, going back to the idea of the ayat, where Allah Azza wa Jal is teaching us about the atqa, the one who gives his wealth, so he can purify himself. He says, إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِ الْأَعْلَى. That he gives only to seek the face of his Lord, meaning the pleasure of his Lord, the Most High. You know, by mentioning Al-A'la, the Most High, we're being taught to humble and lower ourselves. So now, you know, the one who has a lot of wealth, he thinks he's high. He thinks he has authority and he thinks he's running he's controlling everything. So once they understand that Allah is Al-A'la, he automatically becomes the lowest. He automatically lowers himself. This is why Allah mentioned his name Al-A'la as opposed to all the other names. And this ayah teaches us that all we want and all we want and all we need from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that he's pleased with us. إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِ الْأَعْلَى. The word ابْتِغَاء, it means to seek and to demand something, right? Like for example, you say أَبْتَغِي هَذَا. Right, that means I want something. To seek something, to demand something. Also, the word ibtigha comes from the word baghi. Baghi means to rebel. Like Allah says, إِنَّمَا بَغْيُكُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ. That when you rebel, you're only causing problems to yourself. So, الرغب, basically, baghi means to rebel, to cross the limit. So, الرغب, rahimahullah, he combines these two, and he says that ibtigha means that you're seeking something so badly that you cross all the limits in trying to get it. That's what ibtigha means. What is the thing that you're desperately trying to get? Wajhi Rabbihi, right? Wajhi Rabbihi, the face of your Lord. In other words, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what does this word, Wajhi Rabbihi, wajh, what does it imply? You know, it's taught better in Surah Yusuf. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, Yakhlu lakum wajhu abikum. In Surah Yusuf, Allah Azza wa Jal, he says that the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, they said, let's go kill Yusuf, and if we kill him, يَخْلُ لَكُمْ وَجْهُ أَبِيكُمْ, your father's face now will turn to you. Your father will start looking at you. In other words, if we kill Yusuf, then your father will look at you with love and affection. You'll attain that that attention, that love and respect from your dad once again. So that's what the word وَجْه implies, love and affection. And so these givers in charity, those that give يُؤْتِي مَا لَهُ, all they want from this is وَجْه رَبِّهِ, they want the love and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards them. And Allah azza wa jal concludes the surah is saying, وَلَا سَوْفَ يَرْضَى. Ibn Kathir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, that the one who acquires these characteristics of يُؤْتِي مَا لَهُ, giving his wealth, and for Allah azza wa jal's sake, then this person, لَسَوْفَ يَرْضَى, he will truly soon be pleased and content. Now you know, this world is all about being happy. Why do people run after money? They run after money for happiness, for the pleasure, for the happiness that they'll attain. And this happiness will be in the house they buy, in the car they buy, in the clothes they're going to wear, in the phone they buy, whatever it is. Allah Azza wa Jal is saying, develop this attitude and attain these qualities and these characteristics of al-atqa by giving your wealth only for Allah Azza wa Jal's sake, and I'll give you that which you are running for. وَلَا سَوْفَ يَرْضَى, I'll give you that which you are running for, which is happiness. So Allah is teaching us, we're not really running after the money. We're running after happiness. That's what we're running after. And you want to be happy, and you think money will get you the happiness. So Allah is teaching us something more. He's saying, you do this, be from those al-atqa, and I'll give you that which you are running for, and that is the happiness. وَلَا سَوْفَ يَرْضَى. The other thing is that Allah said, وَلَسَوْفَ يَرْضَى. This Lamb Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, he says, it's an oath. It's an oath. In other words, I swear to it, Allah is saying, I swear to it, that He will soon, very, very soon, will be very pleased with what we give Him of reward on the Day of Judgment. And what's the benefit of swearing? What's the benefit of someone saying, Wallahi? You only say Wallahi to make yourself more believable, right? You might have said something to someone, they didn't believe you, so you say, Wallahi, I did this. So you can be more believable. Why does Allah Azza wa Jal swear? Why is He saying, وَلَا سَوْفَ يَرْضَى? Allah is saying, believe it. You know, you will be happy. I'm telling you, I swear to it, you'll be happy. So it's like you're saying to yourself, I think I'm running after money, and I think it's going to make me pretty happy. But Allah is saying, I'm telling you, I swear to it, I will give you the happiness. Just be of these people who يُؤْتِي مَا لَهُ, give. But the whole idea, you're living in life to attain the happiness, and you're running after the wealth because of the happiness. Allah is saying, give from it and I'll give you that happiness. It's not linked with money. It's linked by giving the money, and that's where the happiness will come from. So subhanAllah, Allah Azza wa Jal, He's swearing to that so He can be more believable, so that when the shaitan comes and whispers to you and says, hold on, don't give because you have this and this and this to pay, Allah is saying, Wallahi, I swear to it, I'll give you more. So in other words, He took the oath so you can have more belief and you can be more encouraged in the promise of Allah Azza wa Jal that the happiness will come towards you. How? Just by being from Al-Atqa. How do you be from Al-Atqa? الَّذِي يُؤْتِي مَا لَهُ. You give this wealth. Why? لِيَتَزَكَّى, or يَتَزَكَّى, so that you may purify yourself. Don't give it in response to someone else that has given or done a favor to you. That's إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِ الْأَعْلَى. And although many scholars, and as we said, we'll mention this, they said that these ayat are in reference to the greatest companion, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And they even proved, they said, why are we saying this is Abu Bakr? Because of the word Al-Atqa, the most pious. And they said, of course, the most pious after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. But Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, he says, that since the ayat are general, then they apply to everyone who adapts these qualities of يُؤْتِي مَا لَهُ يَتَزَكَّى وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ تُجْزَى إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِ الْأَعْلَى. Since the language was left open, it didn't specify anyone, that means everyone is given the chance to reach this level of Al-Atqa. Now to conclude, this is how we always conclude, mentioning the beginning of the surah and how it relates to the ending of the surah. Now, this is something beautiful. It's mentioned in Mawsu'at Tafsir Al-Mawdu'i. I translated it, so let me just read it. He said that this surah, Surah Al-Layl, it began with the night. It began with the dark as it covers. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى. Then it stated the day as it brightens. وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا تَجَلَّى. So this, the beginning of the surah implied basically two colors. A dark layl color and a nahar, which is a bright color. Then Allah Azza wa Jal divided the people's efforts into two. Al-ashqa and al-atqa. The most evil and the most pious. So now this, understand this. So the one who was overwhelmed with darkness, the one who was overwhelmed with layl, understand this as figure of speech. The one who was overwhelmed with darkness of sins and lied against Allah Azza wa Jal and turned away, he's al-ashqa and he'll receive naran talatha. It's at the end of the surah. And the one who was overwhelmed with nahar, with brightness, by giving his wealth, yu'ti ma lahu, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that he may attain and cleanse himself and so that he may attain the pleasure of Allah, he's al-atqa and he'll receive لَسَوْفَ يَرْضَى. He'll receive that reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. For subhanallah, it began with al-layl, and it told us people that are described as al-layl, their ending would be naran. This came at the end. And it began with an-nahar, for people that brighten themselves by giving their wealth, then they will receive لَسَوْفَ يَرْضَى, which is at the end, and that is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We come to the conclusion of the surah. Inshallah ta'ala, next week, we begin with surah al-duha. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us people of the Qur'an, people who benefit from the reminders of the Qur'an. إِنَّهُ وَلِيُّ ذَلِكَ وَالْقَادِرُ عَلَيْهِ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ.